Welcome to Innovation Calling,
the podcast where we connect the creators for the next big thing. We're your hosts, Aaron Smith
and Sia Yasotornra.
All right, welcome to a very special episode of Innovation Calling. We are here at the Mothership on the coldest day in Detroit. I'm Aaron Smith.
And I'm Sia Yasotornra.
And we are here, guys. Should we do a roundtable, or Sia, do you want to do introductions for everyone on who's all here joining us today?
No, let's go ahead and just introduce them, because I have a feeling, knowing this crew, we will never get started on the actual discussion if they talk and introduce themselves. So we are here at the Podcast Detroit Studios here in Detroit, Michigan, on the freaking coldest day of the year of 2019 so far. So anyway, we have some really great guys here. Dave the Geek.
Hello.
Bob the Sales Guy.
In the house.
Nuri the FNG.
Is back from vacation.
And Randy, I do the Twitters.
That's me.
It's actually on his business card. It's a legitimate title.
That's awesome.
It's true.
Well, I thought that was a saying in the very beginning, until they decided tweet was like the better term, right? Twitters?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
That's so good. Good in theory, though. But not only are you guys from Podcast Detroit, but you are officially the IT in the D crew, correct?
Yeah. That's how it all started. Yep.
That is how it all started. So I know we wanted to start there because I think it's a really cool story, especially today. Bob was our tour guide and took us on a tour of Detroit. And I just remember you talking about the history of why you started. I know this has been, you know, home to you forever. So can you guys give a little history on IT and the D? You're about to celebrate 5 years?
Yeah. No.
6 years. Five and a half.
Okay. Well, as the podcast.
Six in the podcast. Okay.
So this was a brainchild back in 2001, back when I was a wee lad in my early days of selling IT stuff. And I wanted to go to all the networking events in town, and I hated all of them. There were chamber events. There were people who were paying $20 cover. You had guest speakers, and you got shushed. And really wasn't anybody in IT. I said, you know, I work at this bar. Why can't we just hang out at my bar at happy hour when nobody's there and just invite IT people and tell everyone else they can't come? So we did. And built it up, but then got a little faded, you know, and then Dave and I started talking probably around like 05 again, fired it back up and really put a lot of effort into it. Thanks to him for the most part. I just still wanted to drink beer, but you know, he said, let's make this. Yeah, I just showed up and drank beer. We built this thing up to, you know, right now it's sitting about 8,000 members, all Detroit based, all in IT. We started doing job fairs. We started doing blog series. We started doing speaking engagements, and the podcast was last about 5.5 years ago. And here we are.
I love it. And I talk about too, like, I think this is so cool. I want to address this because I know I want to go into the podcast more, but what I loved is when Detroit was really at
down
its
and
worst,
out.
Right? Yeah. Like, you guys did these pink slip parties where you were trying to connect people to help mm-hmm. find jobs. And it was really kind of,
it was
the start of something.
That was a total. That was totally a self-defense mechanism. So it was like, I want to say it was February of 2009. We were sitting at one of our events in Royal Oak, and we always did monthly networking events. And it was always, you know, come hang out, meet people in the industry, that kind of stuff. And word had gotten out that, like, my network of geeks was there, and so recruiters started showing up looking to hire people. And then word got out recruiters were there hiring people, so people started showing up looking for jobs. Well, when more than half the crowd was there for a job, not just to, like, network and meet people, we were like, okay, well, let's try this pink slip party thing and give that a shot, and we'll make it jobs focused, and then our networking events can just be networking events again, and we'll be fine. Well, much like everything we do, that blew up in our faces, and that just made our monthly networking events bigger.
We were on the news, line wrapped around the building. I mean, it was totally we didn't know what we were getting into, and oh my God, did it, you know. And here's the thing, we're a free event. And we were just kind of facilitating. It wasn't like we're charging $40 the door and we're trying to – or we weren't taking kickbacks. Right. We were like literally – there was people staying there till almost 10, 11 at night. And the recruiters were like exhausted. They haven't had water in 4 hours. And just because they were talking to people nonstop. We were like, we need to keep doing this.
So the formation of this wasn't meant to be a business profit-making proposal, if you will, right? You guys were creating a true meet and greet and mm-hmm. hopefully help the economy. Because I remember – Bob, when you and I talked back in the day, and we'll just say 2 weeks ago, it was brutal. I remember you telling me, you know, we'd go on these, you know, we'd be in these sales forecast calls together in a previous life. And
we worked at HP together. We can talk about that, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah. Go Pro Curve. That product line will never die.
It already did.
Shut up. No, it's a great product and it will last forever in my heart. But I remember being on the forecast calls and I remember you challenged our manager at one point and you're like, dude, which you would say, dude, do you know what's going on in Detroit right now? This is my pipeline. This is what we have. But you were always successful despite Detroit's extraordinarily waning economy at that point in time. And I remember my boss also kept using you as a poster boy of, and look what Bob's doing to be part of the community, and he's integrating himself. One thing I do want to ask about, you started embracing LinkedIn very early on as part of your promotion and, I guess, early on social media. So talk to me about that. How and why did you arrive at LinkedIn as being the logical go-to place for growing this segment of your life?
I mean, it was the only thing. There was nothing else back then. There was what, you know, I'm trying to think what else was a business networking platform, and there really wasn't. I dove into LinkedIn. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't – we wrote a blog called LinkedIn is Not a Video Game, and there was people just trying to collect connections. And with me, it was a really big deal. Like, I had to at least shake your hand or get your business card. Now with IT and the D, it's like I accept people that are in technology in Detroit, but you know, anyone else, I won't even like, I'm literally picky about that.
And just seconds afterward, they try to sell you some printers or business hardware.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And then I have to delete them, but I go through the process. But no, LinkedIn was like the when this group started, that was before we even had a website. We had a LinkedIn group up. That's why we, you know, and we go through it 2-3 times a week and make sure if you're from Detroit. And if you're not, we ask, hey, what are you doing? So we're actually picky about who we let in, even though it's a free group. It's kind of goofy. We've banned people from a free group that gets together at the bar.
You've been fired from your volunteer job.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay, now how does one get banned? Do you really have to try it?
Yeah,
or
tell a few stories on that.
Yeah, I'd like
banning.
To
hear.
The very first guy ever, I'm trying to remember what it – like basically this was a guy that wouldn't listen to you. And he would – every time you talk, he'd uh-huh. And he'd wait for that minute you pause so he could introduce his product to you. Then he would call you the next 4 or 5 days in a row going, so did you get any business from that networking group? Meetup? No. Well, if you used my product, you would. And you're like, God, will you? You're like, enough. And then he would go around and, oh, you know what it was? It was one meetup. There was computer terminals around. I don't remember where we were at. And he went around and changed them all to like his homepage. And I'm like, do you really think? I'm like, why don't you have your own meetup if you want to do that? And he wrote this book arguing with me. And I'm like, you know what? You're banned. And it became kind of a joke between us. I'm like, we just banned someone that is from a free group that doesn't pay to come, you know.
But it became more than that, right? So now when we're talking about networking events, we always say no insurance salesmen, no Cutco knives.
Yeah.
No fruit basket salesmen.
Well, that
no
became.
There are reasons why, right?
That was the very first that guy. So we started writing a blog series called Don't Be That Guy. It was our passive aggressive way to filter out garbage out of our events instead of, we, you know, everyone coming in IT, you know, and then we didn't want sales guys would destroy any good geek meetup. So we made sure that, hey, you know, you can be sales. Just be cool. You're not going to sell anything tonight. Just understand that you want to build a relationship. Great. That's what this is for. But yeah, don't treat this as your platform.
So how did the podcast come about? Because obviously that has now been, I mean, so much more than just even a podcast. It's so much more than just networking events. You've got a thriving economy here. Talk about the history of that and really how it's become, it's really taken on a life of its own.
So early 2013, a friend of a friend built out a studio in the Russell Industrial Center, this bombed out former paint factory down in the down in Detroit.
So it looks like a place that there may be murder porn going on at it. I mean, it's really creepy building.
Oh, yeah.
There was?
There may have been, actually.
Yeah, yeah, right. The next door over, yeah.
I've never heard of murder
I've
porn.
I've never heard of murder porn.
Yeah. Welcome to Detroit.
Don't Google it. Don't
yeah. Yeah, no.
Okay. For the sake of this discussion, I really do want to find out. So if anyone's listening, kindly email me later on. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Right. So I had gone on a couple of their shows.
No, but let me repreface that. There was they called it an internet radio station, right? This wasn't a podcast.
Yeah, it was
studio.
All live. That's all
it
did.
Was live, and that was it. And you know, each one of them had, you know, radio personality as their job title on Facebook. You know, that was the kind of and it was all rock shows and things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah, so we were totally the odd bird on the network. And so I went on a couple of their shows, talked about us and who we are and what we did and the networking events and all that stuff. They called me up in April of that year and said, hey, one of our co-hosts called in sick. You've always been fun. You want to hang? Sure. They called up the next month and said, hey, our Monday night show from 9-11 sucks and they're bailing. You want 2 hours of airtime every week? Yes. I called Bob and I said, hey, we're starting a podcast. Bob's response was,
okay.
Did you guys like have any interest in it before?
No.
Okay. Zero. No.
I never listened to one. Not one. Ever. Nothing. Yeah.
We're going to put mics in our faces and have some drinks, and that's all we knew. So June 3rd of 2013, we launched.
And neither one of us had radio background. I was a cheesy bar DJ. So, I mean, the most I knew about a microphone is yelling, happy birthday, Jenny Jägermeister, half off. Like, that was all, you know.
Welcome to the stage, Mercedes.
Yeah, pretty much.
On stage two at Cinnamon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, it took off. And then we got really, really lucky with some of the guests that we managed to get on the show.
And Taco Bell phones, that was our first.
Yeah. It was the Motor City Comic Con founder. And then a couple of celebrity guests and then Taco Bell. We found out they sent 1,000 burner phones to people that they thought were social media influencers. And we found the one here in Detroit, or one of the ones here in Detroit. We had him on the show and he's telling us all these stupid stories. Like, you know, they'll text me at 1 o'clock in the morning on this burner phone and tell me I have to go get a chalupa at such and such Taco Bell. And so we spent the entire –
you got to go get the chalupa and take a picture of it. It's really stupid.
And you
got
to check in and you got to text him back. So we spent the entire night like tweeting at Taco Bell like how stupid and ridiculous this stuff is. They kept retweeting it all night long. So it was like the first time we had like just a huge amount of listeners on our show. But yeah, so we kind of outgrew the space. Like Bob was saying, like, you know, we were the only, you know, quote unquote business oriented show on the network. And when, you know, we had some higher profile guests that wanted to come on and we had to say no, because, well, it's the Russell and the entire floor smelled like a Cheech and Chong set.
There was a microwave and a toothbrush in the bathroom that had no doors in the stalls.
Mm-hmm.
One time I had to go into that bathroom and there's a guy doing Excel spreadsheets right underneath the microwave.
A1 colon A32.
And there was always mystery puddles. Like it was so bizarre.
Did anyone ever brush their teeth?
No, we were a toothbrush. No, but imagine this. So it was a manual elevator, right? It was an old paint factory. It was a manual elevator and it was on the fourth floor. And it was like the Joe Louis Arena stairs. If you don't know those are, it's like a double stair on like normal steps. Like when I ran the Rocky steps, like I thought it was going to be like Joe Louis steps. No. These were like, I walked. Like these were hard stairs to walk up. So if the elevator wasn't on the first floor, we had to send whoever was the skinniest or the soberest up to the fourth to bring the elevator down for us.
And that was me when I came on around episode 88.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. Was it 88?
88 was my first appearance on the show. Yeah.
Seven more and it's 200 episodes.
I know. It's crazy. It's 300. We're at 281, right?
Yeah.
22?
Yeah.
Okay. Nuri, I have to ask you.
Yeah.
F&G.
It's the friend.
Why? Well, why did you join this motley crew?
It's really good story, right? So, I had met these guys because they had come – or I'd been on a guest on the show. So I was there to talk about PenguinCon, which is a very large open source software science fiction convention that happens in Detroit every year. I was the con chair that year and I was there basically doing this for social media. They had – or were in the process of losing their third guy. And they're like, hey, you can talk. You've got good ideas. Come on the show. And so that's basically how it started. Or as the way they like to tell it is they left out a bowl of milk and I just kept coming to their back door. But it's been absolutely incredible. Like, and, watching as the show has grown from 88 when I'm on to now, we've doubled or tripled the amount of people who listen to our show. Just the reach we have. Like last week we spoke to the guy who started F5 Networks and that was just another one of those. Oh my God, this is really an amazing, legitimate outlet for good technology discussions. And also it's a lot of fun.
And we laugh a lot. I mean, we save time to laugh. It's not, you know, we're not just sitting there going, so tell me about the code you used to start F5 Networks.
So I wrote this in Python.
Okay. So you bring up a valid point, which is why Aaron and I started our podcast was you could make technology and business and innovation. And obviously that's our focus. Exciting and interesting and it's palatable for a majority of the audience, not just, and I don't say this in a mean way, but, you know, the techies of the world, right?
Well, we're not bringing on people who create new versions of spreadsheets, though. Like the people we have on our show are startups, entrepreneurs, people who are doing cool stuff. Like, this is my new app that I'm working on to revolutionize this business.
Right.
Or I am a sex toy manufacturer who uses technology mm-hmm. to help sell my things from local Michigan, right? So it's the people we talk to are interesting. And between the three of us, you know, Bob does a really good job with a lot of the overview stuff, talking about how they sell, how they operate as a company. Dave and I hammer him on technology. But we don't go too deep. Like, there are some times where something's just so interesting, we're like, dig in a little more on that. But usually it's fairly topical. It's not too techy for the most part. But then every once in a while we get into something that even makes my eyes glaze. So, but that's few and far between. Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah. We're a lot more sober these days than we ever were.
Oh my God, we are.
We used to, the Russell days, we would start at a bar because we didn't want anyone to meet at the Russell.
The Third Street bar. We were, I miss that
place. We were burying drinks at the Russell and then heading over to the studio. I mean, you could hear it in our voices slurring, and then we're chewing on popcorn. I'm amazed this show ever took off. So we're cracking beer cans, chewing on popcorn.
Oh, yeah, popping PBRs in the mics.
Yeah, fart jokes.
I mean, we still do that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you do it with Diet Coke.
Diet Mountain.
How'd you guys hone in on your audience? Because I know, like, so you've grown. You got your own place, and we need to finish that story. And just, like, the Comic Cons, like, all, like, you've really right. developed this, like,
so, well, I'm gonna let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we got to the point where it was time to go from the Russell, and so 2015 we built our own studio. We had a buddy who owned a barcade at like 8.5 in Hilton, and he had some extra office suites upstairs. And so we're like, hey, we want to adopt one so we can build out what we're doing and just do. And it was going to be us, our own little private man cave. There was no thought of network. There was no thought of any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But so May, I want to say 6th of 2015, we moved into there. And it took all of 3 weeks before people started nagging us. And they were like, okay, guys, look, we've seen the pictures on Facebook. You have this great studio. You're using it for like 2 hours a week. Stop being jerks. Open the doors. We want to do a podcast. So July of 2015, we launched the network, Podcast Detroit. By January of 2016, we were full and didn't have any more time slots left to give people. We went and found this building here in Royal Oak that had four perfect studio-sized rooms. And then we've just been kind of growing ever since.
Wow. And so, then, yeah, finding your niche in the Comic-Con. I think it's just so interesting because you guys have definitely –
evolved.
You found your crew.
But it was, everybody, like, you have to know your, I hear this from podcasters and people trying to teach podcasting, like, you need to know your audience. And I think that's such garbage. From the simple fact is, I don't know, right? And we got surprised when we did our survey. Cause here's the thing, we talked about stuff that we like and we're passionate about and that we could talk about nonstop, which is, you know, pretty much sci-fi.
The latest breach, the latest, you know, right. Sci-fi movie news.
IT and sci-fi. That's pretty much what, you know. And then we were hoping that they would follow. But then we find out, you know, we do a, you know, we had 1,000 people respond to a survey. And we were, you know, 40-45% women. We were 25 to 34-year-old, you know, because we're here. We are, you know, two 40-year-old white guys and a guy in his, you know, 30s. We're like, yeah, I know.
Whatever.
But like, you know what I mean? Like that's us. Like why would we were questioning like.
Well, yeah, we thought our demographic was going to be geeks and data centers watching lights blink.
Right.
And it's not, you know, and they always give them what they want. And it's like, well, we don't know. We just know what we know. Right. I think that's what podcasting is essentially is, you know, just be good at what you do. And if they want to listen, great. And if they don't, they'll find something else.
And be authentic, right? I mean, basically, this is the same stuff we talk about sitting around a bar throwing back Jaeger.
You'll never not hear a different story. Like, we don't – our voice, though, that was the biggest mistake I made early on in podcasting was trying to be, you know, newscaster voice, trying to push content.
Try to be hardcore geek.
Trying to argue when we're not really arguing, right? And just being authentic. So, like, yeah, if you run into us in the bar, same conversation's going to happen.
Let's clarify here, Bob. You're not trying to argue. But you will debate very lively. So let's clarify here.
No, I like a good, you know, but here's one thing. Like the way I go about debating is I don't think I'm right and I don't think you're wrong. Let's talk.
Oh, no, that's right? True.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But you do like to push buttons, though.
I'm a little bit of a knife twister, yeah.
You are. You're naughty about it as far as you'll say something and then you smile. You have this like little upturn.
Because I know.
And I see you and I'm like, oh, boy, he's doing it. And we'll be in quarterly business reviews and meetings, and he'll just say, I have a question. And you just like half the room would just bristle like, oh no, here comes a Bob question, but which is always great in a podcast, right? I don't think people realize you have to have an inquisitive mind to ask people the questions, whether it's popular or not.
Yeah. But so the funny thing about that, though, is there's literally only been one guest that we've – well, no, two that we've wound up basically annihilating.
But we had – yeah, I was going to say a few that we've had a hard time with at the beginning and then we like ended on a great note.
No, there's was, like, two that we annihilated.
Right. Well, I mean Comcast and Motor City Comic Con, we started off like, okay, we're going to beat right. you up and then, you know, let's do a Rocky finish. You know what I mean? Because we weren't there to just – but yeah, one, yeah, most definitely.
What happened? You don't have to give a name,
but just like, totally call them out. They're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. No, it was the dumbest app in the history of mankind. It was an app designed to replace business cards with their app plus a business card.
No, it was a Slurpee token. Do you remember when you were a kid and on the bottom of the 7-Eleven Slurpee cups, you get like a baseball card, like it would like change position?
Never had those, Bob.
Oh, yeah, I collected the hella. They were just like, so basically they handed out these little round cards and it would have like a 6-digit number and you'd have to plug that into the app and that would bring up the person's, right? It was like, wait, what? Like, you don't want me to bring cards to this event, but you want me to hand out Slurpee tokens? And Dave just, you know, I wasn't in the mood that night to annihilate him. Dave was. And just, they wouldn't look at us that we ran into them at a meetup. And then 2 months
and
later,
they were gone. Yeah. Well, and then the, actually, and we didn't even really destroy the organic dating app, guys.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we should have.
I'm so sorry. Organic dating. What does that mean?
No, it was organic was the name of the app. And it was this proximity based dating app. And it was two of our guests, actually, Erica and Elise, that just,
so would
set
you
them
say
on fire.
This app is built for stalkers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was basically the question I think they came out with.
Goodness. Oh, yeah, just lit them on fire.
We tried to give them the benefit. Oh, wow, great, cool. You know, and then all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute. Like, what does your app do?
Yeah.
I'd imagine it would do extraordinarily well in this day and age.
But yeah, no, but like we've had, you know, everything from, you know, CIOs, CTOs, and CEOs. We've had, you know, pro wrestlers. We've had roller derby folks. We've had, you know, the guy that invented relational databases on our show. We've had, you know, the guy, you know, that was the CEO for F5. So, I mean, we've been all over the map with our stuff. And, like, that's the cool thing is, like, people tell us all the time, like, you know, I may only listen to your first segment, which is, you know, when we're talking about news events and that kind of stuff, just to keep up. And then depending on who your guests are, I may stay in tune, you know, and follow what's going on or not. And that's okay.
Do you think podcasting from when you guys first initially dipped your toe or jumped into the cliff, however mm-hmm. you want to describe it, do you think it's changed or do you think it's maintained some semblance of consistency, but the content has evolved as far as – do you think it's
– No. I think the signal-to-noise ratio has gotten ridiculous. You know, I mean that's the good touch and bad touch with podcasting is that the barrier to entry is so low.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we always tell people, you know, when we do – whether it's at, you know, like PenguinCon or some of the other cons, when we do panels about podcasting, we always start by telling people you don't need us. You don't need a studio. You know, you can, you know, grab a USB mic and pop it in your laptop and grab a copy of Audacity for free off the web and record that way if that's all you want to do, and that's great. You know, and it's, you know, but that's the thing. You know, you look at the, you know, all the stats that are out about, you know, the shows that have faded and, you know, the shows, you know, that haven't released an episode in a year or more, or the shows that and not like the planned ones. Like there are some, you know, episodic ones or some serialized ones that only plan on doing 10 episodes and then they're done. But like shows that just vanished.
But if you look at, you know, the change that's gone on, every city in America has someone like us. You know, whether, you know, either with a studio or doing podcaster meetups or doing, trying to get the community together, storytelling's become the kind of the big shift where companies like Gimlet Media are getting what, $10, $20 million from PE firms, which is crazy. You have the big companies, you know, like the VMwares and the Microsofts creating story-based storytelling over like really well-produced podcasts. It's become not just a thing where people are doing in their, you know, kitchen table anymore. It's become like an actual industry.
Right. I heard a statistic this weekend that there are more than 600,000 active podcasts. That's from Libsyn. I think it's like 630. Mm-hmm. And of that, 44% of Americans have listened to a podcast. And I think what's changed is the industry has kind of revolved around it, right? So now basically you have all these super niche advertising markets. Like these are hyper targeted things for advertisers to go after. So it's basically really become a business. I think that's also part of the bad thing as well. Dave said good touch, bad touch, mm-hmm. is that with 600,000 podcasts, what are you going to listen to? How do you find one? And I think it's just, it's a really interesting place where we're at now that we're consuming our media on demand and it's hyper targeted. So
I mean, I look at it like I viewed open source software back in the day and even the internet itself, you know, back in the, you know, mid to late 90s, you know, podcasting is not quite in its cranky, rebellious teenage years yet. It's still almost, you know, in toddler phase, you know, where it's still trying to find its legs, still trying to, you know, figure out, you know, I guess I won't say that it knows how to walk now, but maybe not run without falling down.
Well, and that's the biggest thing to that is like, you know, I'm going to watch Seinfeld on Channel 4. I know I'm going to listen to Sports Talk on 10:30 a.m., right? Where do you find your podcast? And we're like, you know, we talked earlier, 57 points. Well, which app do I use? Like, I never listen to a podcast. How do I go listen to one? That's a hard conversation to have. Like, you got to download the Google app and then you got to look for my pod. You know, what if I don't find it? Well, you got to subscribe to it. Well, where is it? You know, I'll send you a link. I mean, it's not, you know, it's hard to find podcasts. It really is.
Well, and I can tell you too, I started for my first one, I guess, 2014. And it was like, you said you had a podcast and people were like, whoa, oh my God, that's so cool. And I mean, you got listeners like that. Like, it was so much mm-hmm. easier to start. And I'm not going to plug a network, but I'm going to plug a network because that's where it's really come in handy because of the noise. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I find this? Because it is so much substantial, like, so much harder.
Oh, yeah. Discoverability is a
yeah,
huge issue.
Like, and it's not as, like, oh, yeah. So does my, you have a podcast? That's great. So does
so
the teenage
my 12-year-old.
Kid. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You can throw down a rock in a room and hit someone who does
yeah,
podcasting.
Like, right. That's great.
And yeah, I mean, our running shtick is one out of every two Americans has listened to a podcast because one out of every two Americans has a
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's, and it's definitely harder.
And Aaron, that's the, I totally, after you said that, I totally lost my train of thought. Go on.
Which is very common, by the way.
Exactly.
No, but so, I was just saying from that period. Go ahead.
Well, so, I mean, okay, so let's talk about this then. So how do you guys see – you've been, you know, industry, you've got your feet wet, if you will, many times over and your mm-hmm. knees in your head wet because you've been underwater.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you see the evolution of podcasting as far as how it's used, leveraged, in particular – in the corporate America perspective, I'm not talking about, you know, lady empowerment. There's nothing wrong with that because I'm fully, you know, I support. But I'm just saying podcasting has such a broad spectrum. When we want to focus on business, which is a very specific niche, mm-hmm. where are you guys seeing how it's used and leveraged today?
So, I mean, that's the good thing is it's not just a hobby anymore. Like, you know, it, for a while there you had the – especially from the traditional media realms, you were getting a lot of poo-pooing about podcasting because it was for amateurs,
you look
it was
at
for
how,
wannabes.
Look at how blogs for, started.
Uh-huh.
First, you know, corporations would never put blogs
yeah.
on it like and a GM.com.
Yeah, and the Drudge breaks the Clinton story and all of a sudden blogs are amazing.
Right.
Yep.
But have you ever heard of a business podcast that you actually liked? Like, this is what I'm wondering. Like, so businesses
well,
are putting
so
out.
It's not even a question of like. I mean, so you, like, we look at businesses, what we see from our business clients, they're looking to do one of a couple things. Either one, they're looking to control their own message, you know, which to, you know, it's almost like a blog, almost like a whatever. It's, you know, them trying to get them, their voice out in front of whoever. Or two, they're looking to replace an internal process. You know, whether it's, you know, hey, we used to have this 2-hour WebEx for, you know, on Fridays at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now we come in on a Wednesday and we record a 20-minute podcast, put it out there, can give them analytics on who downloaded it and tell our sales folks to have it, you know, listened to by Monday morning. Great. You know, you just saved everybody an hour and 40 minutes.
And couldn't you argue that podcasting, particularly around sales professionals or professionals that travel, That is a preferred medium. They can listen to it on the plane. They can listen in the car.
Yep.
They can listen in the shower. I mean, I'm not yeah, saying shower, but in the bath. I mean, with their glass of wine, whatever. But
and their toaster.
And their toaster. Hey, maybe that 20-minute content will make them remove that toaster. Right.
No, but I mean, raise my hand. I missed the WebEx. Can you send out a recording?
Yeah.
And then who has ever listened to the recording? writer, you got a deck you can send me? I missed part of the thing. And then you're going to look at a PowerPoint like, no, get out of here.
Hey, no one does that. These fireworks that I recorded last 4th of July says said no one yeah. ever.
And yeah. I think that's
oh, my really... God, my picture of the moon is way cooler than your picture of the moon.
We got a photographer in the house.
With my amazing Samsung S6. No, but I think you bring a valid point up. And I appreciate, Dave, that I think podcasting isn't just simply, I want to become a quote, radio personality.
Uh-huh.
Corporations are actually leveraging it for internal, communication just as much as you would assume from a external mm-hmm. communication standpoint. Like,
could you imagine here's your 5-minute marketing brief for the date of, Friday, December, you know what I mean? And then here's the 5 things you need to know this week going into your week, like a Monday morning. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you're on the road into work, this is, here's a 5-minute. Businesses aren't realizing that this is a thousand times more than giving me a generic HTML email with links that I'm never going to click, that I have no business, hey, we put this stuff on SharePoint and date something in SharePoint.
You'll get your little pixel tracker that says I opened it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But well, I mean, how many times have I played videos like minimize that screen and like actually uh-huh. did my actual work that I get paid on to do? I mean, we just listen to the audio, and I think that's where I think mm-hmm. some viability is here for internal training just as much as external communication.
Well, and I never thought I'd get to the point that I would actually prefer podcasts over music when I'm working out and stuff. Like, I just love, like, it.
See, that was one of the weirdest things. Somebody told us they listened to us, and it's a fairly high-up person at a company. He listens to us when he jogs.
Yeah. Like, I love podcasts while I'm jogging. Well, if I jog. That's the problem.
It's a good distraction. Like, you don't realize how long or how sore you are, how long you're running, how sore you are, because you're distracted by listening to the content.
But then when you're listening to your own voice, you're like, God, I could have said this here. This would have been so much funnier if I did this. That's the thing where I never listen to our show again.
Also, I listen to every episode once. And because to me, it's almost like an athlete reviewing game film. Like, just for that reason, like, hey, that segue could have gone smoother, or that intro could have been better, or that break was really rough, or that, Bob's horrible segue wasn't as horrible as he thought it was.
I like when they're horrible.
Yes, absolutely. Aaron and I are both guilty. Yeah. Anyway. I'm excited. That's the other thing. We both started off that early. When you walked on the intro, I was like, oh, shoot, we just said that word. It's like a verboten word for us. So, I mean, okay, that's great. You guys have done amazing things. Obviously, that's why we are partners and why we traveled to Detroit on a godforsaken time of the year. So let me challenge you guys on this. Being that you guys are the Swami of podcasting here.
Okay, let's make one thing clear. And we spoke at TEDx Detroit a couple months ago, and we opened up the talk with this. We are not gurus. We are not ninjas. We are not experts. We are not masters. We've literally just screwed up a lot of ways that other people just haven't screwed up yet. And our whole thing is, dude, we make all the mistakes in the world, but only once. And then learn from it, move on. And if you're going to fail, fail fast. And figure out how to shift gears and shift directions as rapidly as possible and take corrective action.
That is the most mature thing I think I've heard from you in a long time, Dave. I don't know if I can mention it right now.
We also said our business plan was to suck less, which pretty much that's been the crux of this entire project since the beginning was suck less. We didn't even know podcasts sucked. We just wanted to have fun. I mean, literally this whole thing has been us having a drink and having fun. And lo and behold, it started a business. So like the title of our talk was The Accidental Entrepreneur. Like, we had no business being in business. We're just like, oh crap, now we're in business. And then we just eclipsed 10,000 hours on Podcast Detroit. Like, so if you don't have anything to do for the next like year,
what did you forget? It was a year and 8 months of content we have?
Something close. Yeah. No, it was a year and 40, like year and a month and a half of just straight content. So if you have nothing to do for the next year and few months, just start listening to content on Podcast Detroit. And then.
So I can hear your voice day in, day out. Every
absolutely.
Hour my waking life.
And I think I'd say too is keep trying. Like, you could start your own show and it's probably going to be pretty rough.
your first 10 shows are going to be pretty rough. In fact, there's a statistic about how many shows don't make it through 10 because mm-hmm. the people end up not getting amazing crowds and they basically stop. But if I go back and listen to myself at episode 88, it's terrible. And I think these guys will agree that if you go back and listen to the first 10 shows, they were a train wreck.
Oh, they were horrible.
Right? So you earned the F and G moniker is what I'm saying, is what you're saying.
You get better. You get a better rapport with the people you're with. Like you learn each other, your visual cues. Mm-hmm. Like you work together as a much more cohesive unit eventually, just like with any team. So I guess that'd be my advice is just stick with it and don't let your early failures get in your way of something that could be really awesome in the future.
And that's what we were talking about this morning when we all got together. It's, you know, you got to really define what your goal is in this whole thing. If you have a blast, right, don't worry about if 10 people listen and you're having the most fun you've ever had.
And none of them are
like,
your mom.
No, if you figured like bowling night was Friday, how many people watched me bowl? My team. Like I didn't care. Oh my God, did I have fun? You know what I mean? So I got to monetize this, but no, you don't. Are you having fun or aren't you? Right? If that's your goal, if your goal is to brand your business, then you got to find out what's quantitative and kind of run through that, right? There's a million different ways. Like I always joke, you know, if you want to burp in the mic for an hour, burp in the mic for an hour. Like nothing's going to stop you. If you're having fun, man, keep doing it.
And you'll find those five people who love to listen to burping right. in the mic. I mean, right.
I think there's actually something there. Would you like to start that, Bob? I would love to support you in that endeavor.
We call it Bob's Burpers.
No, it's Bob's Burps and Brews.
There's a guy out of the Netherlands that set the Guinness record for loudest burp, and I watch his YouTube channel like every time he comes out with a new video. And I laugh. I don't know why, but I laugh. I'm a grown man, and I still laugh at burps. And you know what? Good.
All right. So before we wrap up here. What do you think the next big thing in podcasting is, gentlemen? And we're going to roundtable this because I'm really intrigued to see your individual opinion. So, Dave, for your first.
I think discoverability is going to get better and easier. I mean, that's the big thing. You're going to see
a Netflix or something for podcasting.
Yep. Yeah. You know, it almost has to be. You're seeing a lot of maturation. In the products that are coming out and you're still seeing a lot of kind of the gold rush mentality of, hey, all I need is a USB mic and I can go do this. And that's great. But I think you're going to see the churn and burn on those, like that pod fade isn't going to take 8 to 10 episodes anymore. It's going to take like 3 or 4, cause people are going to get burned out. They're not going to keep doing it. I think the next click, I think with podcasting is really going to be the audio video crossover. Like one of the things we're doing is building out a dedicated video studio in the building up front. And it's not, they're different demographics and they're different audiences, but they can play. It's not an in lieu of, it's an in addition to kind of thing. You know, you won't do, I don't think I would sit and watch, like I wouldn't sit and watch us in the studio, you know, for 2 hours doing our show.
But you're so handsome.
Faces for radio. But I would like a little 3 to 5 minute either teaser beforehand or recap after the fact. Yeah, that makes sense to me. So, I mean, I think that's, you know, figuring out how those two things, how audio and video crossover, because, you know, you've got, you know, Google talking about, you know, throwing out this transcription service and they're adding the same thing into YouTube. So it makes sense to have things cross platform that way. I think that's probably the next logical click is you're going to see more of that kind of crossover effect.
I don't know. Maybe it's something I want to see, but I think it's a trend, not necessarily what's big, but old timey storytelling. I think it's a big miss right now. And if it does exist, I haven't found it. I know Gimlet does like produce shows and things like that. And then another thing I talked about
with the Facebook group. There's actually a Facebook group that I joined when I was doing that thing for Trico. That it's all like old timey serial radio style,
but done now though.
Yeah, no,
with modern like modern players and modern audience. Can I just tell you? I listen to that on Sirius all the time.
That's a great station.
I can't tell you how much I literally just was listening on the flight over. So
that and sitcoms.
I'm not really a comedy. I love
no, but
all
people
the
do.
PI.
No, but people do though. There's, I don't like NPR, but I know there's an audience for it. Like I think, like there's sitcoms in podcasting is lacking. Like just people like a Married with Children cracking on each other.
Oh my
like
God.
Someone like, you know, with like a. I'm not a big fan of laugh tracks, but other people are. So I mean, again, it's not about what I like. It's, you know, what I think is going to be the next couple things you might see coming out.
I think you are onto something. Ooh, now I'm super inspired. Nuri.
I'm going to hop on what actually both Dave and Bob said. First, Bob, I love the idea of serialized podcasts. I found a couple from the Public Radio Alliance out in Pacific Northwest Stories, Tannis and Rabbits, and they're both really compelling stories, but they're really terribly produced. I listened to another one the other day that just blew my mind with the production quality. Like, it was listening basically to War of the Worlds as far as how well produced it was. With it wasn't cheesy sound effects and repetitive music. It was just incredible and riveting. And I binged the entire season because it was so compelling. The story was good. The voice acting was good. So I think we're going to see higher quality versions of podcasts with actual voice actors telling a true story through technology, right? So, and then I think with discoverability, I think the next thing is probably transcription for podcasts, right? And automated transcription. So you could basically plug in a few words and do a search engine and find a new podcast, right? So I think technology is going to really help both of those evolve on both fronts. That's where I'm going to put my dollars anyway.
Oh, excellent. I'll go ahead and let you know all the companies that are doing it right now, and you can throw their money in investment.
Cool. Sweet. Shut up and take my money.
And then, when they make the bajillion dollars, you remember us because we got to do that way,
on that
right?
That one snowy night in Detroit.
Randy, what do you think?
I think podcasting will get more popular, like these guys say, but I think that'll also make podcasters more popular. So you have like Joe Rogan and big names like him and maybe like Marc Maron, and I think more people are going to become famous podcasters.
Like Dave Phillips?
Probably not. God, no. You know, it's not something that's going to happen to everybody, but I think it'll help. There'll be like a culture around podcasting spring up, kind of like you have your TV stars and your movie stars. I think podcasting is starting to become popular where you'll start to get podcast stars.
Like personalities.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
So should we rebrand ourselves from Innovation Calling to the CN Aaron Show then? Do you think it's a personal brand versus a business brand?
Yes, because Innovation Calling is – it's not – I'm not trying to – no. Uh-oh. I just think that like a couple times you said –
I love the feedback.
A couple times you told me like, hey, I can't find it. And I go, well, because it's two very generic words. Like not saying it's generic. You know, it is what you do and it's accurate. But then, like, the C and Aaron Show doesn't say what it is. So, right. I mean, there needs to be a balance between the two. I don't think either answer is right or wrong, but I'm just.
C and Aaron presents Innovation Calling.
Oh, snap.
Drop
it.
Yeah.
I
think we were on this. We just looked at each other. Nuri and I just looked at each other like, we got it.
We just rewrote your alma mater. Yeah.
You now aren't making us have to repay and redesign our logo. But
we'll add it. Sia and Aaron Innovation.
We'll add it.
Or Aaron and Sia, because Aaron is actually easier to say Aaron and Sia. Sia, Aaron. We don't want that.
No. We'll add an MS Paint for you. No charge.
Are you making fun of my LinkedIn profile? Because I have no skills when it comes to MS Paint.
Who does?
Well. We all have our expertises elsewhere.
Right.
So let's just wrap this up here, guys. It was such a pleasure to finally meet you face-to-face. We have talked with each other over Skype, over phone.
Messenger, email.
Over Facebook. I'm sure we both equally stalked each other in some capacity, Google Image, whatnot. But there is a reason why we decided to partner up together. And
thank God we met you guys on podcastersonly.com. I mean, this is so great.
Oh, my God.
Podcasters Only. Oh, my God.
Dude, why isn't there? Can we go register that right now?
There you go. Hopefully the dating guys have a new one.
There's the next thing.
Okay, so that we're going to wrap up here because I know we're going to do another – or you guys are going to do your show. And yep. I want to just thank you guys for doing this. Thank you for hosting us. Thank you for having us. Thank you for working with us. It's been awesome, and I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Us too.
Thank you very much, everyone.
No, thank you.
All right. No, thank you.